We've been looking at the book of Mark. Last time we had a lesson, we talked about the sermon or Mount of Transfiguration. And if you read further along, you can see where Jesus left that location, and then he healed a young boy that was possessed with a dumb spirit, the scripture says, who would take him and violently throw him into fire or throw him into water, trying to destroy him. And so Jesus ended up healing that young boy. And the father made an interesting statement in verse 24 when Jesus had asked, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." I preached a sermon about that not too long ago. Don't actually remember the date. Didn't go back and look. But I think that that's an interesting statement that this father makes. Because I think sometimes we do believe God, but there are times that we struggle with our faith. And Jesus is there to help us, and his word is there to help us, and we need to study that word to help us to be stronger and more confident in what the Lord teaches us. And we can look at individuals that God helped and see how they trusted him. And so we need to have that same trust as we talk this morning about our heart. But then as he quietly goes through Galilee, Jesus and his disciples come to Capernaum. And on the way, Jesus once again reminds them or tells them about his suffering death that is going to take place. That's in verses 30 through 32. And also on the way, the disciples begin to dispute among themselves who is the greatest or who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. They almost sound like Muhammad Ali. If you remember Muhammad Ali, he was one of those individuals that had no problem saying that he was the greatest. And he probably was one of the greatest boxers that there ever was. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, what makes us great? Is it what we think about ourselves, or is it what God expects out of us and what God thinks about us? And I think that we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, and hopefully we'll come to an understanding of what we need to do in order to be great in the kingdom of God. Because I believe that Jesus' answer, as we will see, involves two things: being a servant and also having humility. The way of servitude is important. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 35, it says, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." So if you want to be important in the kingdom, then you need to be a servant. And so that kind of contradicts our thinking today. But that's what Jesus is telling us, that if we want to be great in his kingdom, then we need to be servants. That means serving each other and serving others that are out there that needs our help. And the greatest in Christ's kingdom are those who are willing to submit to the things that he wants us to do. If you have your Bible, turn over to Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 20, it says, "There then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these two sons, that my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what you ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he said unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the prince of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that have great that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister." Let him be your servant. And there again, we see these two individuals, their mother comes and they want to have Jesus let them sit on the right hand and the left hand. Those are positions of authority and positions of power. And that's what they're asking Jesus. And Jesus basically saying, you don't know what you're asking for. But then he goes on to explain to them, if they want to be great, what do they have to do? They have to be servants. That's what makes us great in the kingdom of God. Do we understand that? Do we appreciate that thought that being a servant of God is something that is very special? It's a privilege to be able to serve God. To be the first or the great, we must serve just as Jesus served. Think about what Jesus left. He left heaven, came to this earth, and he took on the form of a man. Think about what that would involve just in and of itself. Leaving the greatness, the majesty, the power of heaven to come to this lowly place called earth. And when he came to this earth, what did he come to do? Not to do his will, but his will was to do what the Father wanted him to do. So he came with an attitude of a servant. And so if Jesus is shows us an example of being a servant, then shouldn't we be expected to be servants also? In Matthew chapter 20, verse 27 and 28, Jesus goes on to say, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." The way to servitude is the way to greatness. You want to be thought of highly by God? Then be a servant, as he's trying to show us here in the scripture, by the example that Jesus lived and the example that he expects us to live by today. What are some examples of servitude? Well, we serve others in evangelism. That's one of the responsibilities that we have as Christians. We have evangelized. We're going to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to edify and build up each other. And then also we have a responsibility of benevolence. And we're going to talk about each one of those. So we have a responsibility in evangelizing. That means take the gospel outside of these walls to the people that are out there. Now imagine if every one of us had a desire to take the gospel out into the world. What if every one of us had a desire to convert just one person? We'd have a building overflowing in no time. But sometimes we leave that responsibility to someone else. Let someone else do it. I believe that that someone led you to Christ. And if someone led you to Christ and taught you what you had to do in order to become a Christian, in order to be saved, then you should be able to do the same thing to someone else. You should be able to tell a family member, a friend, a co-worker, someone that you love, someone that you're close to, you should be able to tell them the same thing that you did, they should be able to do, and you should be able to teach them that and show them in the Bible why you did what you did. I don't think that that's too much to ask of any of us. I think that's what the Lord expects us to be able to do. And when you think about how the church spread, there was 12 individuals that went out on the day of Pentecost and they preached that first sermon, and then the gospel just spread out. Did the disciples or the 12 go all of those locations that the gospel was spread? No. When people heard the gospel, they took it home, they shared it with someone else, and guess what? The church grew. And it grew by leaps and bounds. Now, I've had people say, well, that's the miraculous power of God. That wasn't the miraculous power of God. That's the power of the gospel. The question is, do we believe that the gospel still has the power to save? Do we believe that the church is unique? That the church is the one church that Jesus died for and that we're a part of? Or are we content to believe and be comfortable with the thought that all the denominations that are out there, they're okay? I wonder sometimes if that's what we think. And so we're afraid to confront or afraid to say something. Let somebody else do it. But that's our responsibility. begin to lead others to Christ by showing your concern for them, by offering acts of kindness, doing things that will help them, showing hospitality, doing things that show them that you care. You know, sometimes people don't care about how much we know. What concerns them is how much we care. And when you go and visit someone, they can tell whether or not you're there because you love them or not. You know, we claim we love a lot of people. But do we love them enough to tell them about the good news of the gospel and what's going to happen in the end if they're unprepared? At the least, we could invite people to services. You know, we have some big events coming up, and I didn't prepare this sermon to talk about those things. But we need to invite people to those types of things. And you know how many times I've stood at that door and had somebody come in that was a visitor and say, "Where is so-and-so? They invited me, and they're not here." What are you telling them by your actions? You're saying, "Oh, this is a good thing, you should be there, but I don't need it." Offer a Bible correspondence course. I know there's a few individuals here in our congregation that grades those things, but guess what? You could grade one. And there's a variety of different ones that you can offer to people that they can study from. And if you don't know which one that they're in need of, then you can ask one of those that are partaking or that are participating in grading the correspondence course. You can ask me. I'll give you some that will help them to see the right way in serving God and being obedient to Him. But like I said, we have several different varieties of them, which are designed to teach the truth. But they sit back here in the room. What good is that? Be willing to sit down and study the Bible with people. You say, "Well, I don't know enough of the Bible to study with somebody." Every individual that knows enough today to sit down and study with someone, there was a time in their life where they didn't know enough. And so many times when you sit down with people, you may think that you're all prepared and you got all the answers. They're going to ask you something you don't know the answer to. And you have a choice. You can say, "Well, I don't know the answer." Or you can say, "I don't know the answer and I'm going to try to find the answer if there's a Bible answer for it." And then you can dig in and try to find the answer. Hone your skills in personal evangelism. Seek to improve your ability to share the gospel with other people. I know it gets discouraging. It's kind of discouraging standing up here tonight, looking out here and seeing the few that we got. Because other people need to be here. We talked this morning about a pure heart. So yeah, it gets discouraging, but you still got to keep plugging along. You got to do what you can do. I love that Nike commercial. Just do it. And sometimes that needs to be our attitude. There's something that needs to be done. Just do it. Don't wait for someone else. Don't wait for a committee. Don't wait for a program. You see someone that needs to hear the gospel, don't wait for the preacher. Do it. Just do it. You see someone that has a need that you can take care of, just do it. That should be our attitude. Don't wait for somebody else. We can serve others by building them up. When you look at your life, how many people have contributed to your spiritual growth over the course of time? I know in my own life, I had great parents that taught me the Bible, and they lived a good example for me. But I also can look back and I can see Bible class teachers that I had growing up, and I can still remember sitting in their classes, and there's times that I remember even arguing with them about the Scripture. They contributed. I also remember other people that have been a tremendous example by their dedication to the Lord, by their dedication to being here, that some would crawl in the door if that's what they had to do. When others, I'm staying home. It's raining. It's cloudy. Heavy dew. Can't get out. They contributed to your growth. I can remember gospel preachers that have come over the years, not just here, but everywhere that I've ever attended congregations. Gospel preachers that have come and preached gospel sermons that have been encouraging. So it's not just one person, but it's a multitude of people that have helped us, every single one, to grow spiritually, that helped us to get to where we're at today. And guess what? You can be one of those people that helps someone else. All you have to do is look at someone and say, you know, you did a great job today. You did a great job when you led prayer. You did a great job as you led singing. You did a great job. You know, I watch you and you're always a kind person. You're always doing what looks to be right. Words of encouragement. Doesn't cost anything. You ever walk down the road and somebody's coming at you and you just smile? What do they normally do when you smile at them? No, they don't usually do that. They usually smile back. What happens when you say good morning or hello? What do they usually say? Shut up. No, they don't say that. They might feel like saying it, but most of the time they'll greet you kindly back. What does that cost us? Isn't that really what we should be doing? Begin by being present at every service. It's important to be here. It's important to be with the Lord's people when the Lord's people assemble. I know that there are some that must not think that that's very important, but it is. Because it builds us up. I know that you hear the same preacher. I thought about it. You know, today is like the anniversary of me being here. I've been here 24 years. That's a long time. No wonder I have gray hair. At least I still have hair, so I'm happy about that. But it's easy to start just ignoring that and not listening. So that's our responsibility, is to listen. I do the best that I can, and I try to present a lesson so that we can understand it, so that it helps us, and so that you can be a better person, a stronger Christian, as you leave here than you were when you came in the door. That's my responsibility, and I do the best that I can. But if you want to let your mind wander off, I can't come around. I guess I could get me a squirt gun up here and shoot you if you started dozing off or your mind looked like it was wandering. I know of a preacher, or heard of a preacher, old gospel preacher. At one time, somebody fell asleep during the service and he took a songbook and threw it at him. I don't want to do that. But I want us to listen while we're here. Actually, when he threw the songbook, he hit the wrong person. And he lost his job. Take a special interest in those who are new. Encourage them. We don't have to get into the total commitment where we have prayer partners and stuff like that, because that was a wrong concept. But we can encourage people. You know, sometimes just negative thoughts and comments. I've been to congregations where when you walk in the door, you're going to hear something negative. Well, if I'm going to hear something negative, I'm going to go somewhere else. I don't want to hear that. And sometimes we can make negative remarks that people hear. It doesn't encourage them. So we're here to build each other up. Offer to teach a class. How can you be a servant? Offer to teach a class. Offer to assist someone in teaching a class. You know, I used to teach the seventh grade at another congregation, and there was a man, there was an adult that wanted to be in my class. He just liked my class. I don't know. Maybe he just thought he was seventh grade level. I don't know. But he would come into my class and he would fill in if I was gone. But he had to answer questions too. Which meant he didn't get to come in there just to skip out on the adult class. I expected him to have his lesson done. And so if you're going to assist, don't do it to get out of somewhere else. Do it with a genuine heart that you want to help somebody, help some young child learn. So have the right attitude when you go about doing these things. Volunteer whatever service you can render in the work that the church has, and also in the worship that the church offers to God. You say, well, I can't say a prayer. I'm afraid to speak. Everybody was like that. I was like that. Mike was like that. Everybody. We all had nervous times. You get over that. Sometimes you don't get over it. Sometimes you're still nervous. You say, well, I might make a mistake. I still make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But you learn from your mistakes and you move on. And you don't allow those things to cause you to stop serving God. Walk outside, you see a piece of paper on the ground. Well, don't figure that the groundskeeper person, whoever that is supposed to pick it up. Bend over and pick it up yourself. How much does that cost you? See, there's always something that we can do. If you want to, run the chickens back home. That'd be a good one. But we can edify each other. There's other ways to serve in benevolence. Has anyone ever showed you kindness? In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, it tells us, be ye kind one to another. Why? Why do we need to be kind one to another? Because others have been kind to us. Remember all those individuals that I talked about that helped me to grow spiritually over the course of my life? That was a kind act. Because they took the time to help me. And I need to take the time to help others. And that's what we all need to do. Take time to help other people. How do we do that? Well, we can visit the sick. We can visit the elderly. We can visit them when they're at home or in the hospital. Nothing wrong with calling them, either sick or those that are elderly, and saying, I would like to come over. When's a good time for you? And then going and visiting. And most of the time it's very refreshing. Refreshing not just for them, but for you. You see, there's a lot of power in that verse of Scripture that says, more blessed to give than to receive. Because a lot of time you go give someone your time and what you receive back is much better. So take some time to do that. Minister to those that are poor, those that are hungry, those that are otherwise in need. Those are just a few ideas of how we can serve others. But in order to offer the kind of service that really pleases God, that will make us great in the kingdom of God, it also requires some humility. Jesus taught some great lessons on humility. As we read there in Mark chapter 9, verses 36 and 37, it says, and he took a child and sat him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. So what's he saying? He's trying to show us that the humility of a child is something that God appreciates. And it's something that we need to have as the children of God. That we need to trust Him. He goes on in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, where He takes a small child and teaches us a lesson there. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, He says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever thought about a child, a young child, how they fulfill those beatitudes in a sense, where they're looking at their father or mother, like we're supposed to be looking to God? They come in this world totally dependent upon their parents. They can't take care of themselves. Now, what was that first beatitude? Blessed are the poor in spirit. What's that telling us? That we are totally dependent upon God. We need Him. And when that little child, I've seen Isaac, when he does something that you're not happy with, I've seen him cry. Because he's upset that he's upset you. And I'm sure that a lot of grandparents and a lot of parents have seen their children do those types of things. And hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Well, they're hungering and thirsting for knowledge. They are constantly, why? What does this do? How does this work? And sometimes you'll see them trying to figure it out all on their own. Look at those Beatitudes and see if you don't see a young child in their relationship to mom and dad as an example for our relationship with our Father in heaven. Jesus tells us that we have to become like a little child. We have to have the humility to be a part of that kingdom. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Can I humbly accept God? Can I humbly be what God wants me to be? If I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do in sharing the gospel or building someone up or helping those that are in need, am I really submitting my life to Him? How do we have humility in those examples that we talked about? Well, in the area of evangelism, be open to opportunities to learn how to do personal work. Ask others if you can accompany them as they teach others. You read about Paul and Silas. You ever hear where Silas said anything? Paul does most of the talk, doesn't he? And then you had Moses and Aaron. Moses needed Aaron because Moses couldn't talk. But who does a lot of the talk? Moses. Sometimes we learn by observing others. And so that's an opportunity. Reach out to those who are different than you are. And that's where it gets tough. Because there's a lot of odd people out there. Different people. But we need to reach out to them because they have a soul. Then there are those who are less fortunate. We have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Do we do it? In the area of edification, we need to accept subservient roles in teaching and preaching and in worship. We need to encourage and assist those who teach our children. Sometimes it's hard to teach your children. When teachers give assignments, parents should try to encourage their children to do those things. Oh, I know they have school. I know they have other things that they have to do. Clean air, clean water, clean food are all important too, aren't they? But what's more important? Clean heart? School's important. But God's more important. And we need to encourage our teachers. When was the last time you told your teacher, thank you for teaching my child? Thank you for challenging my child to do a memory verse or to study harder or to do the report that I've given them. When was the last time you encouraged your teacher of your child? Help with mundane tasks, like cleaning up. Like I said, when you see something outside, pick it up. we're having a dinner or a potluck or a lunch, whatever we're having, help clean up. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. And sometimes we get mad because somebody else isn't doing it. You know what? I can only answer for me. That's the only one that I can answer for, and that's the only one you can answer for. So we need to do what we can do. In the area of benevolence, help those that are less fortunate than you. In Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, then said he also unto him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made to thee. But when thou makest the feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed by at the resurrection of the just. What's Jesus saying? He's saying that sometimes we do things because we know we're going to get something in return. But then there are other times that we really should be doing, expecting nothing. If there are people that are out there that need help, and we need to help them. They're suffering. They need help. We get it messed up sometimes. We'll take care of ourselves. I know the scripture says, do good to all men, especially those in the household of faith. Especially those in the household of faith. But that first part's important too. Do good to all men. So sometimes you don't do things just to get something back. You know, I'll have you for dinner, you have me for dinner. Doesn't work that way. The Lord said, take those out that can't do anything for you. There's lots of things that we can do as a servant with a humble attitude. But it's really up to us as to whether or not we want to do those things. It may not seem like much, but the way to greatness is not possible without a servant's heart and a servant's hand. Without a humble heart and a humble hand. Jesus proves the greatness of service and humility by his own example. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. He showed his humility and his greatness for service when he came to this earth, because it tells us there in verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He came to this earth and he took on the form of a servant. And he humbly submitted to his Father's will. Even in the garden, when he prayed, if there's some other way, let it be done. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And when he found there was no other way, he quietly and humbly submitted to what God wanted him to do. Jesus was highly exalted, as we read in verse 9 through 11, where it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, or things in the heavens and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, or the God the Father. So Jesus was exalted. Why? Because he served and he was humble. Are we servants? You see, if we desire to be great in the kingdom, we need to realize that exactly what Jesus says in Luke chapter 14 and verse 11, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You want to be great in the kingdom? Be a servant of God. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, you can do so. Come and have a seat up here on the front row while we stand and sing.